Following program is a presentation of Short Track America.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Welcome back to another edition of ASA Fast Lane. I'm Jack Smith, and with me today is Terry Walls back, and also known as T-Bone in some parts. Terry, how you doing, Terry?
I'm doing great. Sorry for the couple-week hiatus. I moved into a new place, and I'm there, and we're going to have some fun on this radio show, and can't wait to talk to our guests tonight.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Jeff Choquette, who has a pretty storied history, even though he's only 17 years old. He's been around a while. He's a veteran at 17, no doubt about it. And also a youngster who started his very first major late model race. It was his second ever late model race at Watermelon Capital Speedway, Anthony Campy. And we're also going to talk to Brandon Johnson, who... is racing this year in the ASA Southern Division. And of course, we couldn't do this show, Terry, without talking to this young man, Bo Slocum, who, underfunded though he may be, he didn't drive or handle himself in an underfunded way at all at Watermelon Capital Speedway, winning not only the Fast Time Award, but he smoked him in the last 15 laps and took control of that race and won it.
Well, maybe now that he won't be underfunded. Once some people saw him win that race and take Fast Time and doing most of the work or all the work on the car by himself, as I understand.
Yeah, it was.
And maybe somebody noticed him, and I'm sure driving at Watermelon Speedway over there in Georgia, that somebody probably did notice him.
Yeah, it was. It was my first time to that racetrack. It's a 4/10 mile. Oval doesn't have any walls around except for the front straights, the only place it has walls. And I normally don't like those kind of racetracks, but this one I kind of like that. It not only gave it character, but there weren't any, like some of those racetracks have serious drop-offs or trouble that you can get into that are safety issues. But Watermelon Capital did not seem to have that. As a matter of fact, I was very impressed, because they didn't even start their features. They could not start anything until the ambulance arrived, and they had to wait for the county ambulance crew to get there. And that shows their level of concern. That was a very, very cool place.
Well, the racers sort of like those speedways in a way, if there's not a big drop-off, because you can go off the backstretch and not wad up your car and actually be able to race the same night. And as long as there's plenty of room for runoff, and I've been to some tracks that didn't have any walls, but they had trees in the backstretch. So sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
But I enjoy a car going off the edge of the track and coming back on and racing again. And I know the car owners love that too. It costs them a lot less money.
There's no doubt, and it helps the fans. It doesn't normally take as long to get things cleaned up. You don't have as much cleanup. We did have one incident up there. Jimmy Lang went off into the watermelon patch, or the cornfield, as they call it, I guess. And, you know, it's all flat land out there pretty much. But he went off. I don't think he knew where he was. That one took a while.
They had to send a search party for him.
Yeah, they sent a search party for him. That took about 10 laps of the race. But other than that, it was pretty cool. We had a rain delay, didn't get started until 11:15, but I'll tell you, once again, just as at Bronson, these guys went out and put on a great, great show. And, I wish I had video of this thing, because I'll tell you, Bo Slocum and Matt Hawkins had led most of the the race. And as a matter of fact, at various times, he had pulled away to a very comfortable lead ahead of Sean Bass and the rest of the field. But I'll tell you, there was in the closing 20 laps or so, Bo Slocum and Matt Hawkins raced door handle to door handle, literally made contact quite a few times, but they were racing each other hard and clean. And Bo Slocum just had the faster car. That's all there was to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think, Jack, with these great motors that ASA has implemented, you're going to see a lot of close racing because now, as we talked on the very first show, it's more up to the driver and setup. Nobody's going to out-dollar anybody in a motor. Everybody's going to have the same motor and same torque, same everything. So the person that works the hardest, sets his car up the best, and races the best is going to come out on top.
Yeah, you'd think, and that would be how this should work. And in most cases, I think that's exactly what we'll find. I'll tell you what we're going to do, Terry. Let's take just a short little break, and we're going to come back with Anthony Campy.
Looking forward to it.
Driver of the number 81. We'll be right back.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
All right, Anthony Campy will be with us in a little bit. Right now we have Brandon Johnson. Brandon drives the number 41 ASA late model, and maybe it's his birthday.
Today. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Well, happy birthday, Brandon. What a treat. That's cool. Thanks for taking some
time. I bet you never thought you'd be on an internet, nationwide, worldwide radio show on your birthday, did you?
No, never thought of it at all.
So how did you fare up at Watermelon Capital in the second race of the year?
We did pretty good considering how far off Friday we were, but my dad ended up figuring out what we were doing wrong Friday, and we ended up qualifying pretty decent, and we had a pretty good car that it wasn't the quickest, but it was real consistent, and it was pretty fast at the end of the run.
Brandon, you've raced. Tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, you're from Florida, and tell us a little bit about your racing background, how you got started, and what you know, just an overall of your history racing.
Pretty much, my dad ended up bringing a go-kart home one night, and I said the next morning we were going to go racing, and I think I was probably 7 years old, and we went racing at Sunshine Speedway when we lived in Tampa. My first year of racing, I raced road courses with go-karts. And then from there, I ended up hooking up with BJ McLeod. We met him when he was running out at Armortown go-karts. And that's how we really got hooked in oval racing. And BJ and his dad taught me and my dad everything we know about racing, pretty much.
Well, that's interesting because I was BJ's public relations director when he was 13 or 14 years old, when he raced late models and the baby late models and things like that. Yeah, I got him sponsors and different things like that. So I think I was out there at Auburndale one time when you all were racing out there. It was a really hot day.
Yeah.
I know that. But, BJ and I go way back, and if you're sort of like following his footsteps, you couldn't follow anybody else's footsteps any better.
So where did you go from there, Brandon, once you got out of the go-karts?
Once we got out of the go-karts, probably about 3 years ago, we hooked up with Bobby Owens. Well, actually, it was an accident, really. He just kind of came to our shop one day, and we started truck racing after that. And that was 3 years ago. And this year, we finally went to ASA racing.
So you raced in, what, did you race in the fast trucks or the fast car pro trucks or one of those?
We raced both series.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. Hey, Brandon, you getting pulled over?
There's an ambulance. I'm stuck in I-4 traffic.
Gotcha. So, how did you? What kind of success did you have in the truck racing?
The first year it took us a little bit to figure it out from go-karts to trucks. It was a pretty big jump. But by the end of the year in fast trucks, we won two races back to back, and we ended up finishing fourth in the points. And then in the pro trucks, we weren't running points. We were just running races when we could, when we had time off. And I think our record ended up being like the last 15 races. We never finished worse than second in both series. So we did pretty good.
Well, that's neat. And what would you say was your biggest win or most exciting or the biggest win in your eyes when you were racing the trucks?
The biggest would probably be my first win. I finally broke through and won. But I think probably one of the biggest races was the charity race at Orlando for Tommy Hopkins.
Yes.
Is that the series? Did you race against Matt Martin?
I raced against him a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, I was getting back to that charity race. That's what I thought you might bring that up because in a lot of people's eyes, that was a very big deal. I mean, a 200-lap truck race at Orlando Speed World, and against a lot of good competition, that had to feel good.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend for us. We ended up sitting on pole, we set track record, and we led every single lap.
Yeah,
and it was for a pretty good cause, so yeah, felt pretty good about it.
Absolutely. So, what was the inspiration or the thinking behind going with the ASA late model series?
We figured it'd be the next step up from the trucks, and it seemed like it'd be a pretty even playing field with the crate motors and all that. So, and I figured it would be a lot of competition and be more driving than setup could really show.
Yeah, I was just making a comment earlier in our opening that I really enjoy the ASA series for going to the crate motors. I've always been an advocate of cost, and that seems like it will bring the cost down for the racers, and it evens the playing field. You're going to win now because you're a better driver and a better setup man, not a better person that has more money than the next person, you know, for motors. So I grew up with the ASA with Mark Martin, Rusty Wallace, and all that. And it's pretty much a money deal then, too. But now the drivers will make the most difference now in the ASA series.
Yeah. And Brandon, what do you think about the intense teching that goes on with the ASA races?
I think it's pretty good. I mean, try and keep everybody on the same page. This is my only second race with them, so they've teched a lot, but I haven't really seen all that much yet.
Gotcha.
But I think it's a good thing that they're doing.
Yeah, I was talking with Anthony Campy, who we're going to hopefully have on here in a little bit, up at Watermelon Capital. They spent quite a bit of time having to get their front end, like I think it was a quarter inch off of the template or something, and they spent.
Yeah.
You know about that, right?
Yeah, we went through all that on the first race at Bronson. We ended up fixing our car up there, so we knew what we needed for this race, so car made it right through that tech.
Yeah, So how what approach did y'all take? What was your thinking going into Watermelon Capital? Once you knew where you were going to start, did you have a strategy, or was it just go out there and stay out of trouble?
It was pretty much go out there and stay out of trouble, because our first race at Bronson, we had a top five car, I would say, maybe top ten, and we ended up getting taken out early. So this race, we were just trying to keep the nose clean and just work our way up. We knew we had a good car, so we were just waiting for cars to drop out, because we knew they usually do.
Jack mentioned the tightness of the tech. Are they also pretty tight on the people's driving? I mean, are they reprimanding people that are rough driving or taking people out, or are they pretty much letting things go?
No, they're being pretty tough on that, too. If you spin out or if you get spun out by somebody else, they end up, if what they can see, they put the person that got spun back in their spot, and they'll put the other person in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also at Bronson, they got on us after that GM after the GM shootout race. They were driving a little rough, so they took us all into the room, kind of lectured us before the main race, calmed us down a little bit.
Yeah. Had a Saturday afternoon sermon from Ron Varney and his crew.
Oh, were you there, Jack?
Oh, absolutely. But at Watermelon Capital, was that your first race there, or had you been up there with the trucks earlier?
I was there once with the truck. I think we finished second there once with the truck.
Yeah. We had Jack brought up a point about the speedway and not having walls in the corners and in the backstretch. As a driver, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like you'd rather have a wall up there to keep you in the park, or would you rather have a runoff like it has there?
I kind of like the walls, but I guess for the people paying for the bills, it's a lot cheaper when the car goes off the track instead of into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it's a pretty neat track, but I think it needs more lights on the back straightaway so you can see the end of the end of the track.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I think it's a pretty good track.
Cool.
Yeah, it was from the fans' perspective, it was certainly a racy place, no doubt about it.
I understand that this top two was too wide for 20 laps or so, Jack said. So there's definitely more than one groove there, Brandon?
Yeah, it definitely has an outside groove. Most everybody in qualifying used the outside groove there.
Oh, okay. So
it definitely had a lower and an upper groove.
So, Brandon, with only about a dozen races approximately that you'll be running in the ASA, what are you doing with the rest of your time? Are you going to be running some other races in your home state, or what do you have in mind?
We're going to try and hit as many truck races as we can, the pro trucks. I'm pretty sure right now we just bought our truck out, and we're going to go race Columbia this weekend.
All right.
Truck. And probably a few super stock races here and there at Orlando, and hopefully I can find a super late model to drive this year sometime.
Give BJ a call. He's got one.
So, Brandon, are you guys going to go up and make some practice at South George Motorsports Park, or are you just going to show up on Friday before the race?
We'll probably end up showing up just in fact because of our budget. We don't have that much time and money to go testing, but most likely what we'll do is go to New Smyrna and test there a lot.
Yeah.
Just figure out our car, because this is only our second time in that car. It's a brand new car, and we're still learning what to do to it. So most likely we'll just go to New Smyrna for our testing.
What's your chassis?
We got a Howe.
Howe chassis?
You know, that's brings up a point. You know, a lot of the veterans drivers that we talk to who race in the ASA say that, you know, some of the youngsters have a tendency to overdrive going into the corners with the ASA cars because they really don't have the speed of, say, a super late model coming off the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And have you noticed that or had any issues with that?
Yeah, actually, Friday that was one of my problems. I kept overdriving, getting down into turn one and pushing up too high. Finally, I just backed out of it and I picked up a tenth. So that was definitely a problem I was having there.
Well, I'll tell you, you did really good. I mean, when you couldn't go out there and run with these guys, and 42 teams came to play, and you ended up fourth among them, and after starting 12th, I think you did yourself really, really, really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And
are you running for Rookie of the Year, Brandon?
As of right now, we are.
Yeah, three quarters of the field are rookies. Isn't that right, Brandon?
Yeah, mostly everybody is rookie.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this the second year of ASA? Is this mine?
No, the ASA in general is the second year, correct? The second year of it, yes.
Yeah, so
42 cars, wow. This great motor deal is bringing the cars out, huh?
And you will go to Bristol? Are you going to do
We're planning on going to Bristol, yeah.
Now, the Bristol, Terry, I don't know if you were aware, that's a challenge, one of the challenge division races. And
when is that, Jack?
It's in August, and they're expecting 200 cars, perhaps.
You think you can get me press passes, Jack?
Well, we probably can do that.
Okay.
So, I'll tell you what, Brandon, we're going to run along here. I really appreciate you taking the time on your birthday to talk to us, and wish you the best of luck, and we will certainly, if I don't see you before, we'll certainly see you at South Georgia Motorsports Park in early June.
All right, well, thank you.
All right.
You're quite welcome, Brandon, and eat a piece of cake for me. I need my help.
Thanks for having me on.
Happy birthday, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Well, he's going to be a star, I think.
Yeah, he handled himself quiet. He was another one of those guys. You didn't hear a lot about him.
You don't
hear a lot about him. I mean, like that charity Truckers 200 race he won, I'll tell you, that was a very big deal. And to get out there and smoke the field the way he did, that was a huge, huge win for him. And he did very good up there. There's no question about it, coming in fourth out of 42 cars.
Yeah, 42 cars. That's a great show.
Yeah. So we'll take a break, and we'll either come back with Anthony Campy, Bo Slocum, or Jeff Choquette. We'll spin the wheel and see what happens, Terry.
All right, Jack.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen!
Welcome back to the ASA Fast Lane, the edition for May the 9th, 2007. Terry Wall, myself, Jack Smith, and I think we're going to spend a few minutes now with Anthony Campy, 16-year-old racer from Sarasota, Florida, starting in only his second. Terry, I got to tell you, it was awesome. Only his second time ever in a late model. Qualifies ninth, ends up on the pole. Anthony's another one of these, Terry, one of these truck guys. He came up through the fast trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And you've raced against Brandon Johnson before, huh?
Me?
Yeah.
The last race of ASA.
Oh, you never raced against him in the trucks?
No, because when he was racing the trucks, I was doing the kids' class.
Oh, I got you. That's right. Now, last year, you were the fast trucks kids division. I don't know what they call the quick kids, or that's a different division. The fast kids, I guess they call them. You were the champion.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was like a long season. It was like 20 races, but besides the one race at Orlando, everything went pretty smooth.
Yeah,
you're looking to move on, Anthony. I mean, you're in ASA this year. What is your long term plan?
Just trying to get more experience in ASA and just sort of take it step by step, because we sort of see like the real picture on how hard it is to get into NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
So we just sort of like my plan is to run ASA and like go to college, and you know. If something happens, that's great, but it's mostly probably just going to be a hobby.
Right, right. What is the gentleman, Jack, the young gentleman who signed with Joe Gibbs, drives in the Hooters Pro Cup 51. His name eludes me at the moment.
Joey Logano.
Yeah, yeah. You looking to possibly take his footsteps too, or is college your main concern first?
Well, it'd be great to get in the Hooters. It seems like if you're pretty young and you can win a couple Hooters races, that basically almost guarantees you like a ride for like a development program or something like that. But
right.
Like, as far as the family goes, it's like AFA is as far as they can take me.
Uh-huh.
And so if something can happen from AFA with like a sponsor or somebody else, then that'd be great. But it's really looking at like the real picture of like the NASCAR. There's only like 43 spots and all of them are taken. And there's like 43 million trying to make it today.
Well, you know what? That's very, actually, I got to say, Anthony, you and I have never talked about that, but it's very refreshing to hear that realism coming from you, because so often, you know, we hear, I mean, there's nothing wrong with dreaming, that's for sure. And you got to really, if you want something, you got to work hard. But, you know, the realism is this takes a lot of money and a lot of just a complete and total dedication. A friend of mine the other day said, if you're not moving to North Carolina, you're not going to NASCAR. You know, and sometimes you get the realism is, get your college degree and things will be, you'll have a good situation. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that is pretty cool. But out of the 43 people driving NASCAR, there's only probably 20 of them that can drive a race car. And the other ones are, you know, born into it or got money or something. I mean, you got to be realistic here. There are some guys that moved up too quick. In fact, Mark Martin, when he was 18 years old, moved to NASCAR. And then he got booted out right away. He had to take a couple more years in ASA before he got hooked up with Jack Roush.
So
even the great Mark Martin got booted out of NASCAR one time.
Yeah, but Anthony, you had raced your first ASA or your first actual late model race at DeSoto Speedway just a few weeks ago. I think you came in sixth. And then that was only your second time in the car up at Watermelon Capital. How was that?
Well, it was pretty fun. I was still trying to get used to the car DeSoto because I wish it was a longer race to get more experience, but it was only a 50 lap, and then we came to Cordia and just got as much practice as we possibly could. And just every practice, we just picked up lap times, and I just got more comfortable with it. And then we just started trying to figure out the setups and somehow qualified in the top 10.
And you had to get your lights on your car situated right, huh?
Well, yeah, the templates wouldn't fit on the left side where the light decal is, and it's just like the body mold there, and we couldn't do anything about it, but they wanted us to fix it, so we just kept having to heat it up with a heat gun and beat it out with a hammer. So well, that took like 8 tries to test, but eventually got it.
And you ended up, what, qualifying ninth? Is that right?
Yeah.
Not bad.
What body do you have, 5-star or ARP?
ARP.
ARP. Yeah, I used to work for them.
What was the most difficult thing about the whole weekend for you, besides waiting out the rain delay?
Probably just, like, not knowing how the routine was and stuff like that, and having to figure out the things as we were going, like when to get your tires, when to change the ignition boxes, when practices, and especially like all the meetings they have. They have like 3 different meetings, and it's hard because like my dad's like the crew chief spotter and car owner, and he's like the main person working on the car, so it was real hard to do that. But besides that, everything went pretty smooth.
Kind of like going to school for the first day.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of teams like that in ASA, Anthony, where just like Brandon, it's a family deal and it's a family-oriented? Or is there some high-dollar teams there that have crew chiefs and stuff?
I saw like 4 or 5 teams that were like us, but I didn't really have time to like look around that much.
Right.
But from what I saw, it seemed like every team at least had like 5 or 6 crew members. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, we saw, like, I got to catch a glimpse of, like, Fontaine's team, which had, like, 100 crew members with, like, all different uniforms.
Well, yeah, the guys, you know, really, I think a lot of it boils down to the teams that have been together a little longer, have a little more experience, maybe a little more sponsorship. They're racing in, and experience, they're racing in the ASA Challenge division as well, such as Fontaine is. And so obviously when they come to the ASA South division or the North division races, they're going to be a little more funded than your average team that just runs the division. But did you guys learn some things up there?
Oh, yeah, we learned a bunch about the car, how, and, like, now we know before we go to the racetrack what to get ready, what tools to have out, what to expect, and just a lot on, like, how, like, the schedule goes for the day.
Any special preparations you're going to make for the South Georgia race?
Probably just try to be a little bit more organized, and we, from what I say, it seems like we have to change some rock arms and some stuff on our motors for the Fords, and we'll have to do that. It seems, Adam, I like just got done reading like the bulletin that they came out with. I'm not really sure what it said, though.
Yeah. Hey, Terry, now imagine this. This young man gets out there. You're 16, right, Anthony?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's 16 years old. He's in his second ever late model race in this car.
Mm-hmm.
He's raced trucks, and he gets out there and he finds himself on the pole in his very first ASA late model race. He's on the pole next to he's next to Sean Bass, and here are these guys that, you know, they're fighting for the lead the first couple of laps. That had to just be absolutely thrilling. What do you think?
Again, we're bringing up the young guns of the sport, and ASA is perfect for Anthony and everybody else that's a young racer.
What was your thoughts on that? Well, now that you've had some time to think about it, Anthony, what was that like out there?
It was pretty fun. I think I would have done a lot of stuff different, though, because I just wasn't as aggressive as I should have been, because in the trucks I like to be pretty laid back on the start for like the first five laps. But when you're starting on the pole with all those guys behind you, really got to be like aggressive for the first five laps, and then let everything get strung out.
Yeah, because you were on the bottom, and Sean was on the outside of you guys. You guys went around the track, I don't know, about four times before. Then you ended up getting in a wreck at lap six, didn't you?
Yeah, we gave Sean a lot of room, and then we were just getting pinched down a lot, and I was just, like, inexperienced, and I was driving, like, the bottom of the track real bad, and we ended up getting real loose, and Hawkins and Bass went on the outside of us. And then we tried getting back up in line, then Fontaine jumped to the outside, and that's when me and him got tangled up, and it went spinning, and then we got hit real hard in the back.
You did some damage to the front end of your car?
Yeah, I just sheared off the bolts of the bumper. It would have kept going, but everything was dragging and stuff.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a nasty accident early in the race, Terry, on lap six. Devin Hall, Ryan Lawler, Anthony, and Wes Burton all got taken out of the race at that point.
What Anthony said was really a sign of his maturity, that he learned a lot from that race. And
absolutely,
he learned what not to do next time.
So are you guys, I don't know if I ask you this or not, but are you going to go test at South Georgia Motorsports Park or up in Valdosta, or are you just going to show up on Friday?
We'll probably just show up on Friday, dude. That's a big enough deal to get out of work and school like then, so.
Yeah.
But some of the more closer tracks, like DeSoto, when they go to DeSoto, we'll probably test there a lot before that race.
Yeah, New Smyrna?
Yeah, we'll probably New Smyrna.
Yeah.
You're talking about school again. Are you going to a regular high school, public school, or are you getting homeschooled, Anthony?
I go to like a private Catholic school. Like,
oh, okay. BJ got homeschooled through his, when he was 13, 14, all through high school.
Yeah, a lot of kids do.
Yeah.
Anthony, you, from what I understand, you don't mess around in school. You do pretty good in school.
Yeah, I just try to like get my grades up, get the stuff done, and then just get out as quick as possible.
Yeah. Hey, how did your good friend Star Poli do?
I think he went to the
That's
second
right.
Second chance race.
Yeah, that's right.
I think I was watching it, and I talked to him for a little bit, and they just said that they just needed a little bit. They just didn't want to like get all caught up in the wrecks in that consolation race, so they just started in the back in that race by choice, and then it seemed like that from what I heard that they were just going out there to get laps and get more experience.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you know, it's. For us people that are just, you know, we're fans and, you know, even though we work at the media game of racing, we're really fans. And to see yourself and Cody Pitts and Travis Wilson and Sean Bass and Patrick Starpoli and, you know, even Jeff Choquette, Dustin Dunn, Brian Bloom, all you youngsters, Michael Seawright. I mean, it's just really, really cool to see you guys. When I went to the track there Saturday, got up there Saturday at noon, went to the track and saw you guys out there, man, I'll tell you, it just gives me chills because we're so proud to see you, you know, because we've watched you grow up and on the racetrack, and it's really cool, and I hope you continue having a good time, Anthony.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anything else, Terry?
No, just I really, it's great to see a level-headed 16-year-old. You don't see many of those nowadays.
Yeah, there you go. And Waterside Realty and, of course, the Royal Tees Racing Team. Anthony Campy, thanks for spending some time with us on the ASA Fast Lane.
Thanks for having me on.
See ya.
Thank you, Anthony, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you down the road.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, Terry, that Bristol deal is going to be pretty awesome. And that's one, if you can get away from the bluegrass of Kentucky, yeah, that'd be a good one for you to get over
well,
the cover.
You can count on it.
Yeah.
You go ahead and plan it because I'll be there.
Yeah.
Because I have no ties no more.
There you go. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to try to hook up here with Jeff Choquette, a former Gong Show participant.
No way.
Roush Gong Show participant.
Well,
yeah. Jeff's got quite a history, and we'll talk about that. He's one of the more experienced guys in this ASA South Division deal. We'll,
at 17 years old.
We'll talk to him real soon here.
Okie dokie.
Break time.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Never has one man written so much for so many. Without you, the world may never have known you can't hug with nuclear arms.
I need a hug now.
And just like you, I too would rather be fishing, or square dancing, or even shopping.
Oh, yeah.
I-O, so off to work I go. You said it, brother.
Speak the truth.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh bar to the bumper. Thanks to you, I know it's perfectly all right to honk if I'm horny.
Honk, honk, beep, beep, honk.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
The following program is a presentation of Short Track America.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
All right, we're back with the ASA Fast Lane. Jack Smith, Terry Wall, and we have a very special guest. I think it's a special for me, and I'm sure it is for you, Terry. Jeff Choquette's racing in the ASA Late Model Series, and Jeff is one of the youngest veterans you'll run across in the racing game, and he's been on the Roush, been part of the Roush Gong Show, and he's won Florida's biggest super late model races, and now he's ASA racing. Welcome, Jeff Choquette.
How's it going?
It's going good, man.
How you doing, Jeff?
Not too bad.
17 years old, I understand.
20.
Oh, you're 20.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was 17 when I won the Governor's Cup in 2004.
Oh, okay.
There you go. See, growing up before our eyes. What?
Yeah.
So how did you fare up at Watermelon Capital Speedway last week?
The weekend started out pretty good. You know, just getting used to the track and stuff, and you know, trying to change our setup around it. You know, so it felt good, and so, you know, we'd be good on a long run. You know, then we finally got it figured out there Saturday morning. You know, we topped the speed charts a couple times, and we're always right up there in the top five. And then we qualified second, which was pretty good because the guy that sat on the pole, you know, won the race and seemed like he had the dominant car. We just, right there as soon as the race started, I think they had a couple people up front that got a little anxious. We got a little anxious. I can't even say the word.
Yeah, they got anxious and scared.
Tried to win the race in the first lap. That's what I'm trying to say. But
there you go.
We just got caught up in an accident. You know, had nowhere to go, and had tore the whole front end off of it pretty much. And we went to the back, and we ended up coming back to 11th, which wasn't a bad night overall. But you know, you always want to do better than that.
Yeah, it was a little better than that's. Where did you finish in the Bronson race?
The Bronson race, we finished 12th.
Yeah,
we were running 7th with five. We started 15th, running 7th with 5 to go, and got in a little mix up with Sean Bass, and they called the caution on me, so we don't have to go all the way to the back. And I'm not sure how many cars we're running. We passed a few, about 5 to go, and made our way back up to 12th, and just got off to a bad start. And I mean, I've checked the points and stuff. We're in 8th place in the points, only 65 points out. So it's not, you know, it's not too far. And all the people, you know, that's way up there, like Chris Fontaine, Sean Bass, you know, a couple of the other ones that race down here from Florida that are up there in the points there. You know, they're not too far out, and you know, everybody's got to have a bad race or two here. You know.
So, what do you think?
Go ahead.
Sorry, Jack. What do you think of the ASA division, Jeff? With all the racing that you've done in your short career, how does ASA stack up to your other racing?
You know, I mean, you know, like the ASA series, they run Clay Motors. You know, as far as the car goes, I don't think the cars, you know, it doesn't have as much horsepower, and you're limited on shocks and brakes and stuff. But as far as the series goes, like, you know, you get to visit, you know, pretty much like 12 different tracks, you know, with all the races they got. They really don't go back a whole lot of tracks, you know, more than once. But, I mean, you know, the series, they're trying to run it, you know, as professionally as they can. And they, you know, I mean, everybody messes up. And sometimes, you know, you get a bad call and you think they're wrong. But, you know, they're doing the best they can. They're trying to please, you know, 42 cars that showed up this weekend. And, you know, you get the exposure. You know, you can go to, say, a top NASCAR team and say, you know, hey, look, I ran on 12 different tracks this year, and I placed this in the points, and, you know, I've had a little bit of bad luck and stuff. But as far as the ASA compared to what I've been running, I think it's, you know, more of a step up, and, you know, just hopefully we can do well in it this year.
Well, Jeff, you're going to race the whole year, so there's a lot of fans obviously, when the ASA series from around, you know, all over the southern United States, who may not know a whole lot about Jeff Choquette. So tell us a little bit about your background. You have a kind of unique background. You started in dirt.
Yeah, I started racing when I was after about 8.5, 9 years old. I started out on a go-kart. And then after that, I moved up to a stock car pretty quick. We started racing dirt right there, a local dirt track in Okeechobee called Thundercross. And shortly after that, I was racing mini stock, and then I started practicing a dirt late model for a while. And we raced there, and then I never really had any plans to move to asphalt. And it was kind of weird. We bought an asphalt car to help my dirt racing out, because on some dirt tracks, you know, the track changes all the time. And you go to a dirt track, and, you know, sometimes you can't be, you know, sideways. Sometimes sideways is a slow way around dirt. We bought an asphalt car, and we went and practiced a couple tracks, and we're like, you know, hey, you know, we're turning a pretty good time. So we went and ran a couple races, and then after that, I think the Governor's Cup was my sixth or seventh asphalt race, and pretty much that was a deciding factor after we won the Governor's Cup. It was like, you know, I think this is, you know, the step forward that we're needing, and then we shortly after that got rid of all our dirt stuff, and here we are now.
Yeah, I'll tell you, other than the Snowball Derby, there is no bigger race in Florida ever than the Governor's Cup. And to go out and win that race, I mean, you're talking beating Wayne Anderson and David Rogers and B.J. McLeod and those kind of guys who had a lot more experience on asphalt than you. And that was quite an accomplishment. And then you got picked to be a part of the Roush Gong Show, I understand.
Yeah, we did that in 2005, and that was another neat deal. You know, you got to go to Martinsville and Darlington, two places that a whole lot of drivers don't get to go to outside the NASCAR circuit. And we got to go there, and we got to drive one of their Craftsman trucks. And we made it down to the final 12, which is, you know, we got to Darlington, and Jack Roush says, you know, if you crash my truck, you go home. And so you're like, whoa, you know, you take a step back. And, you know, you go out in Darlington, you know, nickname Too Tough to Tame, you go out there and, you know, you're driving a track and you don't get a whole lot of practice laps and stuff. I didn't go just as fast as the other guys did, so I got eliminated.
Were you afraid of wrecking Roush's truck?
I kind of was, and, you know, you just, but that kind of put, you know, they kind of step back from me. If you go out there, you know, your first time on a track, even if he didn't say, you know, hey, if you go out there and crash my truck, you're going home. You know, any time that you get a chance like that, you don't want to go out and crash one of the trucks or anything. But yeah, that does make you a little scared. It doesn't make you, you know, drive as hard. And plus Darlington, I mean, that place is really too tough to tame. I mean,
wicked place.
I'd have to test for probably about a week to even get, you know, close to being used to that place.
And now you race, when you're not racing ASA late models, you're racing super late models in Florida in the All-American Challenge Series and in the Sunbelt Series, huh?
Yeah, we're going to try to hit, you know, as many Sunbelt races as we can and as many races in the All-American Challenge Series, which is in DeSoto. For some of the Sunbelt races, we're going to be driving Dickie Anderson's car like we did last weekend in New Smyrna. On April 28th in New Smyrna. Hopefully, you know, we can race his car as many times as we can, because we won the race in New Smyrna April 28th, and we were pretty fast. So, and he knows what he's doing.
A lot of people think that's cheating when you put somebody like Jeff Choquette in Dick Anderson's car.
Well, I remember B.J. McLeod has drove Dickie's car, and there's some other great drivers that drove Dickie's car. And you know, Dickie is one of the legends of Florida. He's won many, many races, and it's got to be an honor for Jeff to be asked to crawl in Dickie's car. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, he asked us to drive it, and I was like, you know, hey, that's a no-brainer right there. You know, he asked us to drive his car, so, I mean, if you look at his resume, I mean, it'd be my resume times 10, and, you know, his resume is that much better than mine, and, you know, you're like, wow, this guy's won races all over the United States. So, I mean, not only does he know how to set up the race car, but, you know, he can tell you, you know, hey, this is where I think you're messing up. This is where, you know, I think you can maybe pick up the gas quicker. Maybe you need to let off sooner, get in the corner. There's just things that he can tell you that, you know, any other driver that you drive for, any other crew chief or car owner that, you know, you go out there and you might not do as well because, you know, he can't help you out like that.
Right. He didn't tell you that if you wrecked his car, you got to go home, did he?
No, he told me he's working on it. He said you do. You know, you did what you got to do, you know. He said, I don't want you to drive my car any different than you're driving your own. He said, you know, you go out here and you race as hard as you do in your own car.
So now,
that made you feel pretty good.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Now, what, with the ASA series, do you approach these races any differently than you approach, I mean, when you're in a Sunbelt race, everybody expects Jeff Choquette's going to be up in the top 1, 2, 3. Do you approach this ASA deal a little differently, maybe?
I kind of do, because when you're out and you're racing against, you know, 42 cars and there's 30 of them that are just as fast as you are, you know, and you're racing for points and there's a lot more exposure, you know, there's a lot more media that's going on with the ASA. You know, you want to be a little bit more careful. You know, maybe, you know, if you don't have the line, you might back off. You know, it's just, you try to be more careful because you're kind of point racing. And there's you're racing with these guys, you know, every weekend, and you try to earn their respect. And then hopefully, you know, if you earn theirs, you know, when the time comes around, they give you the respect back.
And you got to know that people from NASCAR are watching this series. And I know your points racing, but knowing that NASCAR is watching this series like they used to do in the 70s, 80s, and the old days to get their drivers, you gotta have that in the back of your mind. Say, well, you know, somebody from Childress might be watching today, or somebody from Roush. So does that motivate you to even and try harder? I know you're trying as hard as you can, but is that in the back of your mind, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, you know that they're watching the ASA series because of the, you know, the ASA has such young drivers, and that's what, I mean, that's what it seems like everybody's looking for, is younger is better now. And I know, I guess in the NASCAR world, I'm getting kind of old, but everybody's looking for younger and better. But and the ASA goes to so many different tracks. So, I mean, but you can't, you can approach it two different ways. You can go out there and say, you know, hey, I got to do better, I got to have better finishes. Or you can say, hey, if I go out there and I try for this and I'm taking a chance on it and I wreck, you know, then instead of 11th, I could end up, you know, 26th or 27th, you know, place finish. So it's just, you know, which way, you just go with your gut feeling at that point.
So does that mean that we're not going to see one of those patented Jeff Choquette 3-wide moves anytime soon?
I tried that on the spot. You know, I was just trying to get in line, and I was there in the 83 of David Wilson pushed up, and I made it 3-wide, but and then I kind of backed out of it, but I ended up getting caught up in the wreck anyways, and kind of took us out of the whole race.
Yeah. So have you ever raced a sprint car?
No, I haven't. I've never raced. I had a chance to drive one on dirt, but the deal never went through. And yeah. One of my dad's friends that had a car, but I'm kind of pretty much up for driving anything.
I've kind of figured you would be. Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, well, it's been real fun. You know, now what do you see coming up at South Georgia Motorsports Park?
We're just going to go there like we do every other race, you know, go there, and they have Friday night practice, but go there and you know, just try to do the best we can, try to get, you know, I've never been there, I've never, most of these tracks that we're going to go to this year, I'd say probably 9 or 10 of them that we're going to go to, they're tracks that I've never been to, so we just got to go there like we approached, you know, Watermelon Capital, and just go there and try to get the best finish possible and try to do the best we can.
That's cool.
I imagine a lot of other people that race down here in Florida that are going to have the same problem that we're having, because they've never been to these tracks before. But the Friday night practice helps out a lot, because, I mean, there's like with us, you know, we're racing Sunbelt, trying to race as many races as we can, race Sunbelt and stuff. It's hard for us to just, in the middle of the week, like a week before, just to take off and head up to Georgia, because I live so far down south. It's like I think to South Georgia, it's going to be like a 7 or 8 hour drive for me.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that's going to help you is your car owner, Dickie Anderson, has been to most all the race tracks that you're going to be going to.
Yeah, but with him, we're not running. We're only running like something about races with him.
Yeah, it's super
he helps the 83 of David Wilson out in all the ASA races. So.
Oh, you can't call him up.
Yeah, no, he's actually David Wilson's crew chief in the ASA.
Yeah. So
you can't call him up and say, "Hey, Dickie, you can. Where do you lift off here, or where do you put on the gas there?" You can't do that, huh?
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, he'll help me out as much as I can, as much as he can. But it's just, it's kind of hard when he's over there concentrating on him. It's hard for him to watch me and to do that kind of thing. You know, I don't want to have him take away from the 83 of David Wilson.
Yeah, I forgot it's not NASCAR.
Yeah, we're gonna try to have David with us on ASA Fastlane next week, and yeah, he's got quite a talented crew there of wily veterans, to say the least.
Yeah, he doesn't have, I mean, for as many laps as he has in a late model, I'm actually really surprised at how well he's doing. You know, he doesn't have very many laps, and you know, you can tell that Dickie is, you know, coaching him a lot, because, I mean, if you have any other kid out there that's racing, you know, they're just, you know, like last weekend in Cordero, you know, he ran me extreme clean. You know, he was way faster than I was, and he ran me extremely clean, and you can just tell that, you know, Dickie's helping him out a lot, and you know, he surprises me a lot.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad. I know he speaks highly of you too. He really likes you, so that's cool. And, I was telling Anthony Campy, we were talking to just before we got you on, and you know, we were talking with him. It's really cool to see all you guys from Florida. You know, because a lot of these guys, you know, you've seen them race in the kids divisions and stuff, and I saw you when you were in your first Nationals race at East Bay in the dirt late models with the big boys making the race, and it's just so cool. Like when I went up there Saturday, I just can't get over how cool it was to see all you guys there being so professional and running in a professionally run series.
It's a lot of fun. Like, you know, I've never been in an asphalt car, I've never been out of state of Florida, and to go out of the state and to run well and stuff, it's always fun. And I mean, even when you travel out of state, you always hope to do well, and when you do well, it makes it even that much more fun, and you just hope that you can do well with the rest of them.
You know, I thought, you're a guy, you know what's going on. Wasn't that pretty cool that they sent out the rabbits?
Sent the rabbits?
Well, yeah, they, remember at Bronson, some of the guys were complaining because the locals had been out on the track prior to ASA qualifying in their with their Goodyear tires, putting down Goodyear rubber. Some of the guys complained about that. So at Watermelon Capital, before they were qualifying, Terry, they had a couple of cars, Fontaine and somebody else was out there running around, I believe. But they had a couple of ASA cars go out there and make a lot of laps. Put down.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, they had two. As the first, it kind of messed me up because I was getting there ready to take notes as the first cars come out to qualify. Well, they were rabbits. Now, I keep hearing this announcer talk about rabbits. It took me a minute to catch on. They had these cars out there, just two cars out there riding around. They probably put in 15 laps, putting down ASA rubber so that nobody could complain about that. That's the kind of detail that Ron Varney and these guys are thinking of.
Exactly. You know, and at the ASA race at Bronson, you know, I kind of went to Ron and I talked to him, you know, about the, I'm like, you know, hey, I was racing with Sean Bass, and it was a racing incident. You know, he explained the rules to me, and I'm just like, you know, he's like, to me, you know, I can understand what he said. And he said, to me in the tower, it looked like, you know, you just turned him from the left three. And I was like, you know, hey, it was a racing incident, this and that. And, you know, he's like, hey, he's like, you know, I'm a man of my word. And he's like, next time, he's like, I'll try to look at it even closer. And you know, that's, you can't have nothing but respect for somebody like that. For, like I said, you know, he can't please 42 drivers. You know, he's trying to please as many as he can, and it's just hard to go out. And
well, all you ask of a series is to be consistent. You don't want them to make a call one way, one race, and a different way, another race. If the race series is consistent down the line, then the drivers will be happy.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And they seem to, you know, they seem to be, you know, fairly consistent from what I've seen. So
mm-hmm. That's cool. Who's sponsoring you in the ASA?
I have a couple different sponsors. My dad, which is CNC Motor Service, he does he does most of the sponsoring. I got Southern Superior Equipment that is sponsoring a couple of my ASA races, and pretty much just my family. And I got Simpson Race Products that helps me out with all my gear and Port City Chassis.
Yeah, there you go. And who builds your cars?
Who builds my chassis? Or
yeah,
Port City builds all. Port City builds all my chassis.
I got you.
Is the ASA chassis pretty much the same how Port City? Are they basically the same?
The ASA chassis is the same chassis that I run in the Sunbelt Series. Just the only difference is just a couple of rules like the motor, the shocks, just a couple other things. Like brakes and stuff like that, but other than that, it's pretty much like it's just a super late model.
Okay,
that's cool. So, when's your very next race?
I think next weekend. We have this weekend off. Next weekend, we're going to go down to Bradenton for the ASA race. Oh, not the ASA race, but the AACS race.
Yeah, the All American Challenge Series at DeSoto Super Speedway.
So how many series do you run in, Jeff, since you got them all confused?
The only one I'm running for points is the ASA. I just kind of go to Sunbelt races just because, I really don't have nothing better to do on them weekends.
You want to go take home that $3,000 first prize.
It's fun sometimes, I got to make a living somehow.
Are you planning on going to Bristol?
We're going to try to. I just got to find out what, I know they have a couple different rules for that place, like different rims and wheels and stuff and that for us. So
right.
I just got to find out the rules and see if we can get them. Okay.
All right. Good deal, man. We look forward to it. We'll see you. If I don't see you before, I'll definitely see you at South Georgia Motorsports Park, June the 3rd.
Right. Nice talking to you guys.
Hey, man. Thanks for spending some time with us.
We'll talk to you again.
See ya.
All right.
He's a good kid, man. All the kids that we had on tonight are like not teenagers that I used to know.
Well, it's amazing. If you go to the in the Karnak.com photo gallery, there's some gallery of some snapshots from Watermelon Capital, the ASA race there, and I'll tell you, there's a picture in there of Wayne Morris, who is 39-year-old veteran. I mean, he's won a ton of short track races.
Yeah, we had him on the first show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's won a lot of races all over. There's a picture in there of him and his young son, and who he has been taken out getting started in racing at Auburndale Speedway near Lakeland, Florida, quarter-mile track. And we remember Wayne was telling us, and I talked to him again about it the other day. His son is been out there in his Sportsman, and he's running within 2 or 3 tenths of what Wayne can do in that Sportsman.
Wow.
And this is the kind of thing that these guys, these kids, they're not the kids of 1970, and you know what I mean? They're a special breed of. They just get to this, and I think a lot of it is the development of the karting. It's got to be the development that they go through in the go-karts and whatnot that, they all have that in common.
Yeah, I want to remind the listeners to go to Karnak, KARNAC.com, and get all your information on the ASA and click on photos. And I'm at the site right now looking at it, and Jack's got a lot of photos on here from Watermelon Capital Speedway.
Yep.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, and then there's, of course, on our RealRacingUSA.com, a Short Track America website, we have a lot of stories. We're going to add a bunch of information here over the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a lot more ASA news that you can read about, and not just stuff that you find all over the Internet, but stories that are developed within Karnak.com, our writers, myself and others, and we'll try to keep expanding the exposure for these kids that and the older guys too. I mean, Wayne Morris, he some of these guys had some trouble. I mean, Rob Pardalo, he had a lot of problems at Watermelon Capital. They could not get their car. He had to take a provisional. He could not get that car the number 93 to do what he wanted to on the track, and he ran horrible times and ended up having to take a provisional because he's in the top 10 in points in order to get into the race. And Jeremy Gerstner, who we talked to last week on ASA Fast Lane, I mean, these guys are veteran racers, and they've won a lot of races in late models and modifieds.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy couldn't make the race either, and Wayne, he seemed pretty happy after the first test session on Saturday, but when it came down to the race time, he said, I don't know if it was the set of tires we had or what, but he just couldn't get it to work. He ended up finishing one lap down at 19th.
Wow.
And he qualified 18th. And
I bet you could almost put on your hand how many times Wayne Morris has finished the lap down.
Yeah, I mean, especially in something like this, you know. And it was tough for some of those veterans as well as some of the youngsters. So
right.
42 cars show up. You never know what you're going to get, I guess.
How many do they start, Jack?
Well, they started. They were going to start originally, we were told, 26 at Watermelon Capital. But Ron Varney always has some tricks up his sleeve, and they brought the two top runners in the Concy race in. And so it was a field of 28.
28.
Yeah.
And there's 42 cars showed up.
Yep.
Holy moly.
Yeah, buddy. So
yeah. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. I can't wait to go to my first race.
And the next race will be, of course, at June 3rd at South Georgia Motorsports Park, which is a big, beautiful half-mile palace. I was there last year for the Hooters Pro Cup race, and it is a very, very nice racetrack. It's the nicest facility outside of. It's actually the nicest short track I've ever been to. And
well, I'm gonna have to look that up and see how far away it is from me. Maybe I'll meet you there.
There you go. But I'll tell you what, we're gonna come back in a few minutes, and we're gonna close tonight with talk with the race winner, Bo Slocum, driver of the number 08, who made his mark at the Watermelon Bowl 125. We'll be right back.
This ASA Late Model Update is brought to you by Evergreen Construction and Development.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company Late Model and Open Wheel Modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know a whole lot about Bo Slocum. He won the Watermelon Bowl 125, but I'll tell you this, I do know, I talked to him yesterday for a little bit. He didn't sleep for 3 days getting ready for this race. Bo Slocum is not one of these, like, high, he doesn't have all the big money and all of that, so he had to do this with a lot of hard work, and maybe we can find out how he did it. Bo, how you doing? Welcome to Real Racing USA.
Thank you. Thank y'all for having me. It was definitely a hard-fought battle. We daggum started working Wednesday morning, and I didn't get to sleep till Friday night after practice. And just a bunch of hard work and time, and find out who all your friends were when it came down to crunch time.
You found out who your friends were, huh?
That's right. I had a couple people, Rusty Clanton, my crew chief, and I work out of his shop, Clanton Racing, in right south of Atlanta in Jonesboro. He lets me work out of his shop, and I help him work on legend cars and what his business is. In return, he'll help me on my late model and gives me a place to work on my car.
So you literally started putting this car together the week of the race?
No, I got the chassis from Fort City on March 15th, and we took it to the racetrack on May 4th. And we stayed up for about two or three straight days trying to finish everything up. And, I mean, there's so much borrowed stuff on that car. I mean, I was supposed to have a carburetor about 2 weeks ago, and it never came in, and I had to call Joey Clanton. He's got a shop, their shop, Tony Townley, Zaxby's shop is about 20 minutes from us, and he let me borrow a carburetor for the race. And I mean, just a lot of effort and hard work went into this, and it just I'm so fortunate and to have people to work around me and with me like that, and just to be able to make that race was a big feat for us.
So you get a car in March, you put it on the racetrack May 4th, you get right. fast time May 5th, and you win the race May 5th.
Right. I mean, it was just I can't explain it. We went down there with the attitude that if we could qualify in the top five and finish in the top five with a brand new race car, we'd be definitely satisfied. And, I mean, it just turned out the way it did. And I told Rusty, I told him after the race, I said, I can't believe this. And today, I told him today, it still hadn't sunk in.
Well,
just how amazing it was.
Well, let me tell you, Bo, you made the whole thing exciting. Tell us about your qualifying run. Now, you were qualifying right at the end of the – I mean, you were one of the last people to qualify. Tell us about your qualifying run.
Well, we went out, and Joey Clinton used to be my crew chief when I was at Gresham Motorsports, and he used to get on me all the time about not scrubbing tires hard enough coming to in qualifying. I think I got him a little bit too scrubbed and ended up spinning out on the first lap of qualifying, come back around to the front stretch and made another run at it. And I guess all it did was just made me mad and ended up sticking it on the pole.
You stopped just short of the start-finish line as you went to make your first pass, so you had to go all the way back around to the – you drove all the way back around the track, didn't you?
I spun out on the front stretch, and it was on the dead lap. I drove back to the start-finish line.
Oh, that's right.
They were hollering at not to cross the start-finish line. That would have started my time, so actually I got a full lap to get going.
So then you get fast time and draw, what, number nine pill?
Drew a number nine, had to start ninth, and they were all worried about it. And that was just being my home track. I knew that you could run on the outside down there, and, I mean, we just got lucky. It got strung out in the first couple of laps, and we got on the top while everybody else was on the bottom and came to the front.
Well, now, he's no stranger to the winner's circle.
No.
125 career wins in 6 years.
That was the 125th feature win.
But you have not won in a late model at your home track until Saturday night.
I've never won a late model race at that track. Finished second, finished third, finished fifth, qualified on the pole, and just something always seemed to happen. Had motor problems the last race down there, running second, and it just finally came together. And that was definitely the biggest win of my career, just because, I mean, I've won so many legend car races down there being my home track, and just that meant a lot.
This just wasn't any late model race either.
Yeah.
I mean, the talent that was at that track was just unbelievable.
Well, now, it was a little bit of an unfair advantage, too, because he has Joey Clinton. Did you say Joey Clinton is your crew
chief?
No, Joey Clinton used to be my crew chief. I have his brother, Rusty, now is crew chief.
Well, those guys are no strangers to the ASA either, are they?
No strangers to the ASA or Victory Lane, by that means.
He's got some borrowed parts on that race car that belonged to Clinton.
Yeah. So when you won the race and you crossed the finish line, you come back around and you pulled up up under the flag stand and put your bumper on the front straight wall. Could you hear those fans going crazy?
Oh, they were going nuts. About half of them right there. So I come from a big family, and about half of them was my family. I bet I had 30 people from my family there, and it was just, it meant so much because they could actually come to this race. It's only about an hour from where we live. So they all showed up, and I mean, it meant a lot. They were going crazy and put a little smoke in the crowd for them jumping on the roof.
It
was great.
When you could hear the fans screaming as the cars are coming down for the final lap, you could hear the fans screaming over top of the roar of the race cars. It was amazing.
This wasn't any easy win for you. I mean, you and Matt Hawkins battled side by side for the two laps before you took the lead.
Oh yeah, it seemed like it was forever. I mean, I've raced with Matt before, and I knew what kind of racer he was, and I was going to race him clean, and I knew he'd race me clean if I got my nose up on him, he'd give me room, and he gave me room, but it was just enough. He wasn't going to give me a whole lot to work with, but I loosened him up one time, and I let him go, and I let him have it back. I wasn't going to pass him like that, and I know he wouldn't do me that way. But we just had a little bit better car than he did that night. Now, he was frustrated after the race, but, you know, I guess I would have been too if I'd run second and led the whole race.
Well, in the middle of the race, he had begun to pull away from the field, and And then once you got in front of Bass, it was obvious you was the only, you were the only car on the track that had a chance to deal with him, and you actually passed him two or three times. Once you got had to go back to second because of a caution, right?
Yeah, I got around Sean. I talked to him after the race. About halfway down the back stretch, he pulled over because I had called him, and he let me go around him. And I told him I appreciated it after the race. And when I got in second, they told me that he wasn't pressuring me. So I just kind of rode. I figured we'd have another caution. And we had a caution. And I caught Matt. And, I mean, we had a good battle. And it was very exciting. I hope it was good to watch. It was dang sure fun to drive in.
Oh, let me tell you, it was fun to watch. It was really fun to watch because, you know, on the restarts, you would get to run and get up beside him and get underneath him on the low side and get side by side with him. And then it was just you guys going around the track. And, you know, we're down in the infield. You can't see the whole track, you know. But when you'd come back around, you're still side by side. And it looked several times like you were actually doing a little banging on each other there.
We were leaning on each other a little bit. He leaned on me, wasn't giving me any room, so I leaned back a little bit. I mean, it was just hard racing. I mean,
it was fun.
I don't think that there's not any hard feelings there or anything, but I mean, it was, I knew if I could ever clear him, and I cleared him one time and the caution come out and I thought I was in front of him, but they said, I mean, we have transponders, so they said he beat me at the line just a little bit and he got back in front of me. That was frustrating. I'll get out. I couldn't stand it because I knew I had him. And if I could get in front of him, stay in front of him, I knew he could get back around me.
So are you going to go down to, South Georgia Motorsports Park on June 2nd, I guess it is?
Yes, we will be down there. We're going to try and get away, if I can get off work one day towards the end of next week, and try and go down there and test. But if we don't, we'll be down there for the race without a doubt.
Have you raced that track too?
I raced there one time before back when I was at Gresham, ran the Georgia Asphalt Series race down there, run third.
Any other ASA races you're planning on running?
We're going to try and run the rest of the South Series. We're going to try and run the rest of the races in the Southern Division. And we're going to try and run the Challenge race at Milwaukee and Challenge race at Bristol and Pensacola.
Oh, well, good.
Just ones we can get to.
Good.
That's great.
We'll definitely try and run the rest of the Southern Division races, though.
Have you ever raced outside of Georgia?
I've raced a legend car all over the country, but a late model about as far as I've been is Cordele and Sonoya and Peach State up in North Georgia and Anderson, South Carolina and Kinley, North Carolina, and I won an ASA race at Hickory last year, actually, when I was with Gresham.
That's cool.
Yeah, so you're no stranger to the ASA deal then.
No, we ran three races last year with ASA, and hope to run the rest of them this year.
Who helps you get the car there in terms of spot? Do you have some sponsors?
Just me. It's all myself. I mean, I'd see, we didn't even have a trailer to get to the racetrack. I had like a 30-foot enclosed trailer that I hauled my legend car in. I said, well, my late model's sitting there. We measured it, you know, Thursday, and the car was an inch wider than the inside of the trailer. So I had to call in a favor to Mr. Tony Gresham, because they have a smaller gooseneck trailer that I had to call him and beg him to let me use it, and he told me, yeah, it was fine. He understood my situation. He let me borrow it. So I didn't even have a way to get to the racetrack as of Thursday afternoon. But
well, there you have it. There you have it.
Got a lot of friends.
This is the best bargain in the ASA right now in terms of sponsorship. No doubt about it.
Bo Slocum.
There you go,
anything
Bo.
Anything helps at this point.
Huh?
I said anything helps at this point. I mean, because I've done it all by myself. I mean, I've paid for everything that went into that race car and everything. I mean, I've been doing all the work with help of a few friends. And I was parked next to the Greshams, and the guy that used to be my crew chief that's over there, he came over to me Friday night in practice. He said, it stinks being the crew chief and the driver, don't it? I said, it's pretty rough. Because I was in and out of the car, checking stagger on tires and air pressure, and getting back in the car, making changes. It was all worth it.
Bo, what's it cost to go to, not in terms of the car or anything, but if, you know, what's it cost to go to one of these races? What's it cost the team?
We got it figured with full expense to go to, this race wouldn't cost us as much. It's only an hour from the house, but, I mean, we've got on average to run 15 races this year, probably cost about $5,000 a race. Once you pay food, hotel bills, and a couple of sets of tires and everything, we figure $4,000 to $5,000.
Yeah. So what did you win Saturday night?
With the pole award and everything else, it was, I think I won $3,200. I'm still in the hole.
About $1,800. I could probably be a little more than that because the bar tab, I'm sure, after it was all said and done, you had to pick that up.
I was too wore out, dude.
He was, too. Well, I'll tell you, they wore you out taking your picture, but I tell you, Bo, you may have only took in $3,200, but a whole lot more people across America know your name. And, man, we really hope that somebody comes forward with some sponsorship because you certainly deserve it.
Damn sure got $1 million worth of publicity.
That's right.
I appreciate it. I appreciate everything y'all did for me.
All right, Thank you, Bo. We're looking forward to seeing you again in South Georgia Motorsports Park, New Smyrna, DeSoto Speedway.
That's right. We'll be there.
All right, man.
All right, well, I hope to talk to you soon after the race, too.
Thanks a lot,
Bo. Have a good night.
All right, thank y'all.
Bo Slocum. Mm-hmm.
Well, that just about does it for the ASA Fastlane edition for this week. For myself, Jack Smith, and Terry Wall, also known as T-Bone, we'll see you next week with a new lineup of ASA stars and guests. And we really, really enjoy doing this, and we hope... Hope you enjoy it. If there's something that you'd like us to change or a guest you'd like to have us talk to, send us an email. Go to Karnak.com, Short Track America. You can get in touch with us. RealRacingUSA.com, ShortTrackNation.com. They all go to the same place. See ya. The following program is a presentation of Short Track.